false prophecies, false blessings, and false messages. For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things, 2 Nephi 2:11. For every truly pronounced prophecy, there are usually many, many more false ones. I mean, these are the last days. Why expect anything else? Over this last couple of months, we've been exposed to quite a few prophecies about President Trump's sure and certain inauguration. And as of this minute, they were all proven wrong. The following is a compilation of YouTube clips predicting President Trump's second term or re-inauguration.
Surely the Lord God does nothing, nothing, without revealing his purpose to his servants, the prophets. And I have been interviewing prophet after prophet that I trust that has been saying without blinking an eye, Donald Trump will have two terms. President Trump is going to win.
First of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. That doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work, but he's going to win.
He will be in office for 8 years, then announce the next 8 years, and we can go into that a little bit if you want to. Okay, nobody in that side is going to the dark side either. I'll just say he said 8 years for Trump, 8 years for Pence, and 8 years for whoever he picks for vice president. There, I've said it.
The Lord said to me, I am going to give your president a second wind.
Oh!
A win that he will be the president again.
There might have been a little bit of a setback, but that was nothing. It was a setup for the comeback.
Come on.
Double win. I decree and declare that right now.
Come on. Hey,
come on.
And I love what President Trump always says. He says, you're going to get sick and tired of winning if there is such a thing. And that's going to be the same way for the army of God. That's going to be victory after victory after victory.
Will it be an eight-year presidency?
Absolutely. Absolutely will.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that because there's going to be no doubt he's going to sail right in for the first second term.
I think we're going to hear church bells ringing all over the United States. People are going to be clicking up their heels. It is going to be victory. I believe that the Lord our God has sealed this election in the heavenlies, and we are going to be rejoicing.
I believe, number one, he will be a two-term president.
Yes, there are angels posted inside and outside every place, every voting precinct, and certainly around the White House, 100,000 of them, sentinels
wow.
over there.
Wow.
And everywhere, they even carry Trump's plane when it flies. So God is adamant about making sure that he remains here.
Donald Trump has unfinished business in the nations. And I believe you will not let someone who has stood with Israel and stood with Christians, you will not let them be ingloriously beaten and embarrassed by your enemies because your name is part of this, Lord.
Well, it's going to be, a landslide victory for President Donald Trump.
We break and divide every demonic confederacy against the election, against America, against that who you have declared to be in the White House. We break it up in the name of Jesus. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, victory. Victory, 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 victory.
And he's already made his declaration about, even before all this stuff started, about who would be president. And he chose Trump.
Son of man, do you think that I am going to allow my prophets who prophesied Trump's second term and prophesied what all this goodness coming to this nation to be mocked by a mass media manipulation? The Lord says, no, I shall not. For my name's sake, I shall protect my word. I shall protect my people. I shall protect my prophets from this evil destruction.
Well, to put it in religious terms, Joe Biden doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning any significant number of evangelical voters.
Will President Trump, from what God is showing you, win his second term?
Yes, it is for sure, Sid, that God wants President Trump in. That's not the question.
Trump will win. He will be president of the United States. He will sit in that office for four more years and God will have his way in this country.
In the third dream, he said, I need for you to be my running mate for my second election. And the Lord said, because what I intend to do through him, it will take two terms to do. And I need for you to run with him in the spirit to see that everything is removed out of the way that would hinder that, so that he is not only finishes this term, but is reelected for the second term and can fulfill the mandates of God upon his life.
You said, this one that I shall raise up from New York, I will give him two terms.
God's in control. He controls everything, and I believe that involves Donald Trump being president for the next 4 years.
How long have you known that Trump is going to be reelected?
I've known since 2015.
And today, God's eyes is upon President Trump, and God is going to do something amazing. Hallelujah. The same Lord who made Moses to be drawn out of water is the same Lord who is going to deliver President Trump out of this whole situation and bring an ultimate victory, because he's this God who is same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
It's victor. And he said, blow the trumpet. Donald Trump is victor. Landslide victory. Inauguration. Four more years. Four more years. You know your daddy never lied. You know God is not a man to lie or the son of God to repent. If he said 4 more years, it's 4 more years.
God is not concerned with what the other side is saying. He is still saying Trump will sit in that White House. He purposed it back in 2015, was when he told me that would happen. And he said it would be for 8 years. And he said, I haven't changed my mind. I don't know why people are acting like I have. Now, this is from God himself.
The above is just a small sampling of those who predicted what we now know as false. Biden, not Trump, was inaugurated today. There are many, including some within our own faith, who also gave similar or verbatim prophecies, in some cases repeatedly. Given that these prophecies are now officially false, it's legitimate to ask why they were pronounced in the first place. The possibilities include 1. God was wrong. 2. Biden persuaded God to change his mind. 3. God changed his mind on his own volition, but deliberately or accidentally didn't tell these prophets. 4. God changed his mind on his own volition and told these prophets, but they never passed that fact on to us. Or 5. These prophets never heard God in the first place, but instead heard their own emotions, thoughts, and egos, or they heard a lying spirit. I vote for option number 5. How about you? It's not like this is the first time this has happened either. Soon, many of these prophets may pronounce some convoluted excuses for their fake divinations. Trump can always run again and win in 4 years, also known as moving the goalposts. We didn't pray enough for a Trump inauguration, also known as it's our fault, which God's omniscience never took into account. They were just testing us to see if we'd fail, or blah, 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 blah. There are others who have pronounced prophecies via dreams or visions from God. In one case, the recipient described God as either tapping or pounding his fist on a calendar, underscoring horrible disasters and man-made tragedies, which, in the final analysis, never happened. Here's Deuteronomy 18:20-22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Most of these frauds will do anything to get us to look the other way, as they continue prophesying while they hold the scriptures, stand in front of a flag, and in many cases ask for more money. Perhaps a few will publicly repent and ask for forgiveness. And we should forgive them, as well as pray for them that they be given experiences so they recognize their errors and resolve not to repeat them. Beyond that, we leave it to Yeshua, who says in Deuteronomy 32:25, to me belongeth vengeance. The consequences he'll meet to these prophets will be both just and merciful. But what is the lesson to be learned for the rest of us? As was conjectured above, it's unlikely these prophets ever heard God in the first place. And therein, as the bard would say, lies the rub. A very common occurrence when we use the name of the Lord in vain. I believe that good old-fashioned wishful thinking is the prime motivating factor behind most false prophecies. We want people to like us, we want them to love us, and the ability to give people hope and reassurance in a dark, confusing time can be a powerful, beguiling motivator. False prophecy isn't the only place where this uninspired wishful thinking is manifest. Let's talk about priesthood blessings. Okay, for example, in Jack Whalen's book Charlie, the character Sam gives his wife, Charlie, a blessing on her deathbed. There he blesses her that she'll be better. Instead, she dies shortly thereafter. This isn't an unusual occurrence. I've seen similar things happen so often that the tendency among members is to just simply dismiss it by saying, well, guess it wasn't God's will. That's interesting because I thought that's what blessings are supposed to be, the relaying of God's words and will to a mortal via a mortal. So let's consider these false prophecies and what I call these false blessings, what they actually are, using the Lord's name in vain. I know we LDS tend to think that using the Lord's name in vain is in terms of profanity, and yes, that's applicable, but so is using God's name in such a manner as to produce no result, a futile, useless, ineffective, ineffectual, impotent, unsuccessful, failed endeavor. Put into religious context, when you pronounce a false prophecy or you give a false blessing, you're using his name to produce an unproductive, fruitless result. And that's not what God does. That's not who he is. When God does something, he produces results. They bear fruit. And when you let your emotions, your own supposed logic, your desire for someone to be healed or given hope, to override God's true words, and you do it in his name no less, then you're preaching, pronouncing, and proclaiming an impotent, useless God. You're also breaking a commandment that ranks higher than breaking the Sabbath day, murder, and adultery. That's why knowing God's voice and God's will, a primary focus of this blog, especially over the last year, is so important. Know his voice and his will, and you can move mountains. Don't, and you break no small commandment. False prophecies versus misinformation. While you'll probably never publicly pronounce a prophecy anytime soon, and you'll be a little more on guard not to use the Lord's name in vain, you'll likely be faced with other subtle opportunities to pass on information that can be just as destructive to others. All throughout 2020, you and I were exposed to gargantuan amounts of misinformation. Now, that's false information that is spread regardless of intent to mislead. Now, we were also likely exposed to copious amounts of disinformation, which is false information, as about a country's military strength or plans disseminated by a government or intelligence agency in a hostile act of tactical political subversion. 2021 is quickly shaping up to be a banner year in terms of misinformation. Take, for example, this last week. Here's just some of the supposedly reliable information my friends passed on to me. Again, this is all within the last week. 1. Conclusive evidence will be released showing national wealthy elite and government leaders are pedophiles. 2. Trump fled the U.S. for Europe. 3. The Pope was arrested. 4. The Italian government has collapsed. 5. The entire Netherlands government resigned. 6. Trump invoked the Insurrection Act. He will remain president until all domestic enemies are arrested. 7. The mayor of Oklahoma City was informed by POTUS via email that the Insurrection Act has been enacted and arrests will begin in that city. 8. Now, this was the weekend before the inauguration. Trump will invoke the Stafford Act. 9. Also the weekend before the inauguration, Homeland Security is preparing to mobilize the National Guard. They'll also announce a nationwide 2-week quarantine for all citizens. All businesses will be closed. And finally, 10. From someone whose nephew is an ex-military naval officer the weekend before the inauguration, Trump announces that it's the calm before the storm, which was actually given back in 2017. Although these friends didn't intentionally mislead me, and they thank goodness never pronounced these things in the name of the Lord, they did induce varying degrees of concern, uneasiness, and even anxiety. All they needed to do was spend 30 seconds on Google. But no, they were lazy, they were sloppy, and they diverted my time to have to confirm their unsubstantiated rumor. I understand that these days it's hard to differentiate between fact and fiction, but just like the false prophet and the false blesser, the false purveyor of information erodes their credibility with a lie for zero reason whatsoever. And the more they do it, the less credible I find them in all facets of their lives. Now, how about you? Will you resolve to check things out before you misinform others? The truth frequency. As I watched misinformation swirl around me last year and to a greater extent this year, I developed a theory. The truth is its own frequency. Those who passionately seek the truth, I mean, they're willing to put a lot of effort into understanding truth and tend to be more tuned into the truth in all factors of their lives. And because of their appreciation of the truth, God blesses them with greater and greater degrees of the gift of discernment. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Conversely, those who don't put in the strenuous efforts to better discern truths tend to be a little more freaked out by just about anything, confused and even anxiety-ridden. They have chosen to not only tune out the truth, but often seek comfort from those who may or may not be as well. Here's Amos 8:11 through 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I won't pronounce a prophecy right now, but it's pretty safe to assume that as we approach the day of the Lord's return, we'll see more, not fewer, fake news stories, false prophecies, false memes, and false messages. And to cope with it all, we'll see more, not fewer, false blessings. We'll see more pronouncements that, despite whatever national or worldwide calamities happening, everything's going to be fine, serene, and secure. Just ignore whatever bad thing is happening because it'll be okay. And as history demonstrates, sometimes those sources will exist in the unlikeliest places. So if you don't want to be a deceiver and you don't want to be deceived, if you truly want to develop your gift of discernment, then first you may want to consider drinking more from the scriptures, tuned directly in to God's frequency. Second, consider your sources, who you listen to, watch, and read. Shut off the flow of misinformation and disinformation that's influencing your spirit, body, and mind. And third, make darn sure that you've verified any information you're sharing with others. Look, it's nice to be optimistic. But to be optimistic at the expense of realism is always a dangerous proposition. I understand and share people's hopes and dreams regarding the betterment of the United States. We want the deep state snuffed out of existence, for the judicial system to convict America haters, the rich and the powerful who have gotten off scot-free, and the Constitution and Bill of Rights to reign supreme. I understand and share people's hopes and dreams regarding the betterment of the United States. We want the deep state snuffed out of existence, for the judicial system to convict America haters, the rich and the powerful who've gotten off scot-free, and for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to reign supreme. We long for the day when the press is truly fair and objective in its analysis and reporting, and social media upholds, not abridges, our freedoms. Yet we know that, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's going to be a time, as we read about in Isaiah 5:20 and 21, when the people call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Yet God will eventually turn wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. And that's in Isaiah 44:25. Go read what Nephi, Mormon, Moroni, and John the Revelator and Isaiah said about the ultimate destiny of America, the Gentiles, and in fact our world. They're all in agreement with Jeremiah, not these false prophets, on one crucial fact. It's in Jeremiah 30:11, that God will make a full end of all nations. It's going to happen, okay? Just accept that fact. And those who want that delayed are, in essence, wishing for Christ's return to also be delayed. Time to end the waiting. Your inability and perhaps unwillingness to be tuned into the truth frequency may eventually cost you your physical and eternal life. There's a story by an unknown author called something like The Devil's Meeting. He's meeting with a few of his demons who are giving him ideas on how they can keep people from truly coming to the Lord. The devil said, hey, listen up. As you know, the enemy's been too successful in recruiting mortals to his cause. We need to find a new strategy and keep him out of his clutches. The first demon said, I shall tell them there's no God. The devil said, don't be an idiot. They only have to look at the wonders of creation, their own human form, even a tiny baby. The sun, the moon, and the stars, and the planets each day on their perfect course, the constant cycle of the seasons to know, without a doubt, that a creator has had a hand in their making. The second demon said, I shall tell them that God is not good. The devil said, that won't work either. They all know that God is the one who forgives even the greatest of sins. The third demon said, we can just tell them that they have plenty of time to make up their minds. The devil liked that decision and said, that's true. Over the decades, I've seen that many in our faith have zero sense of urgency regarding the last days. They think they have plenty of time, that the premillennial tribulations are something their kids or grandkids are going to have to grapple with, that they can come to God later when it's apparent that they really need to do it or that they ever popular, the brethren will let us know when it's time to head for the hills. Hey, if your confidence in your timing and in your security and trusting in the arm of flesh is endorsed by God, then see where it gets you. In the meantime, others are going to be sticking to the revealed words of God and assuming nothing, knowing that the Lord's return and the events preceding it will come as a thief in the night. Find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. You're no doubt familiar with the dynamics of developing relationships. You can't expect a deep symbiotic relationship with a person you just met. Likewise, it's also illogical to assume that you can not only hear Yeshua's voice, but also dialogue with him at the last possible minute. You're only fooling yourself if you do, and heaven forbid you persuade others to think the same too. As history has shown, God is usually pretty swift to take such people and their complacency into the afterlife, in a place they'd rather not be spending eternity. Do you stand for truth or not? Personally, I believe that today we are witnessing the last gasps of mankind's appreciation of truth. Our leaders have abandoned it. Our media has abandoned it. Our courts have abandoned it. And in many ways, church members have abandoned it. And those who love liberty, freedom, and all that our founding fathers fought and gave their lives for, the truth, well, they weep that fables now reign supreme. When mankind turns its back on truth, then God will repeatedly warn us to repent and return to Him. That's why He sends us things like plagues and pandemics, which are allowed to continue until we repent. And if we turn our backs on that opportunity, then the end of all nations can't be too far behind. Just ask Ether and Moroni how that went for their nations. Here's Isaiah 30:9-13. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perversiveness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. Sometimes I wonder why we don't hear more people talking about the one and only antidote to all these problems, Yeshua HaMashiach. I hear about leaders, men of renown, celebrities who encourage us to think nice things and to do nice things. But do we hear an emphasis on humility, on turning to God, on repenting, rejoicing in His mercy? No, not so much. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people, now let me emphasize that, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will ignore their sin and will heal their land. As I've grown up in our faith, I was constantly fed a diet of a Lord who is unsmiling, quick to anger, unmerciful and unforgiving of those in unfortunate circumstances, a God who's now more concerned about administration than ministration. Yet within the last 9 years, as I've been doing this blog, I've come to discover that he's quite the opposite of those attributes. He's so humble, full of life, laughter, and love. But just as much, he's so eager to forgive at depths I can't fathom. All he wants is for you to wake up, seek him, hear him, trust him, and his atonement. What he says, no matter the doubts by yourself and others, seek the forgiveness he desperately offers you, so that in your life there will be no more false prophecies, false blessings, and false messages.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do, the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Oh, afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to you.